Welcome back to The Empowered Homeowner, where we are nailing homeownership with humor and heart. Today, I am so excited to be joined by Joanna Cornea. I am, of course, your host, Beth Allen, DIY expert, educator, and contractor. But we are talking about family-focused, female-powered renovation. We're going to chat a little bit about what do women bring to the renovation process. Who are some of the leading ladies at the LBK company in particular? And how can a design firm deliver consistent, reliable quality in today's age where, like, you know, things are complicated and expensive, and how can you rely on that company to deliver for you? So let me introduce my delightful guest.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited you are here.
I'm very excited to be here.
Joanna is the co-owner and operations manager at LBK Design Build in Bucks County. They are a full-service remodeling company, and you've been in business for over 10 years.
Over 10 years, that's correct.
And they service Bucks and Montgomery County, and they are family-owned, and truly, you put family in the family business in every way possible.
We do. We really try. You know, when you think of your home, it's where your family gathers, and we really like to treat our clients as family, and they end up, you know, a lot of them become friends and family throughout the years, and just with repeat business and everything like that. So,
yeah,
definitely.
And I love the motto of dream it, build it, love it. Where did that come from? Like, how did that come together for you guys?
That's something I think my husband and I were kind of sitting and, you know, we got together with our team and we were trying to think of just core values. And what we really want to represent. So yeah, I think it was just a collaboration with our team, and that's kind of how it started.
And for me, that is just so important to have the benefit of people that get the family, that get bringing your people together. It's not just about cabinets and flooring. It's about the space. It's about what does that home do and mean to you? And I see that in everything that I see you guys post on Instagram and our conversations, that is at the core of so much of what you do.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we do. We try. You know, people spend a lot of money when they do these projects, so you don't want to sell someone something just because, you know, it's trending or, you know, this is what maybe we want to represent as a company. Like, you really want to get to know the client and the family and what works best for them, especially when you're dealing with space planning and, you know, and your home. You want to make sure it's functional.
Yeah. And that's what's so important is that it's the family space. So it's got form, it's got function and purpose. Now, you and I have chatted a lot in the past about the fact that when you and your husband were first married, you were in a family business, and you shared some of the challenges that you guys saw as the couple that was not in it 100%. So tell me a little bit about, like, your husband's background and how you guys both ended up in this construction business together.
So his background was always in construction. I think, I believe he started when he was 14.
Wow, that's awesome.
He was working on a lot of, like, commercial projects in New York. And that's where we grew up. We're originally from Queens, New York.
Okay.
And my dad owned a construction company when I was younger. So, you know, I was kind of familiar with that aspect of it, but I wasn't involved in it, you know, because I was a girl.
You were a girl, exactly.
Because there wasn't too much, you know, for him to kind of teach me, I guess, at the time. And yeah, I don't, it's, you know, it's been an interesting journey.
But you went into education.
I did, yeah. I have my degree in early childhood education. So it took me a little bit. I always think it's crazy to kind of send kids off to college after high school and be like, figure out what you want to do. And
for the next 40 years.
Yep. And go learn it.
Yep.
So I didn't know what I wanted to do at all. I mean, I think I at one point was majoring in archaeology. Then there was sociology, nursing. It was literally everything. I think I did accounting for a little bit, and I'm like, oh, this is awful. But yeah, I don't know. I think I did eventually go into education, and
but all that experience has helped you with your clients, you know, in educating them as homeowners, and how are you going to use this space in educating your team, because you're operations manager.
Yeah, and I think it was nice that I was able to do a little bit of everything. And, you know, I do have to attribute a lot of that to my husband and kind of having the trust in me to just give me that freedom and, you know, let me kind of go with my gut and do what I think is right for the company. And because I have no construction experience, or I had none when
I
started.
You do now.
No, now I do.
Yeah, you do now.
Now I do. You know, when I started, it was kind of like, you know, I was pretty good at managing. I know with my other employer, they put me in a role where I was able to be more of like a director or supervisor. So I learned a lot from my past employer with how to do that. And it really is about relationships. Like, you can just knowing how... you know, how to treat people, how to deal with like different personality types.
Yeah. And that's part of your process when you're doing design projects is getting to know your clients and building that relationship. Like you said, you want that repeat business.
Yeah, definitely. We even do, and I don't think I mentioned it to you before, but we do any new hires that we have, we do a DISC assessment.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So it's that like a DISC personality kind of... Yeah. Profile so we have everybody take this DISC assessment test, and we figure out what their kind of leadership style is, and then we're also able to use that when we deal with homeowners as well. You know,
right.
So you'll be able to tell if somebody is more just needs a little bit more, if they're more like trust oriented, right? Like,
right.
You don't want to get into a relationship. Some people are very, very focused on, like,
exactly.
If I don't trust you, then this isn't going to
exactly.
work.
Exactly. And I think that whole DISC assessment is really an interesting and unique thing to bring to a home renovation build project, because you need to know what is your team's strengths.
Yeah.
So that you can put them into those right relationships. Because, you know, if you have somebody who is the introvert, they're not going to be that salesperson necessarily.
Mm-hmm. They're
going to have a more back scene role. I think it's fascinating when we've talked about some of the roles at LBK that your daughter is considered part of the team. Tell me about how you ended up pulling her into it, because you said your dad didn't really teach you the construction piece, but your daughter seems to be a part of it all, and I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, she, she's a spunky little 10-year-old with a very strong personality, which there's times where, I'm like, man, why don't you just listen? And then in the back of my head, I'm like, no, this is going to be great for her. She gets older. She definitely knows what she likes, what she doesn't like. And
does she weigh in on like the design?
Oh, definitely.
That's fun.
Well, you know, even as we're walking through like Home Depot or wherever, if we're watching a movie and she sees, she's like, "Mom, that backsplash doesn't go."
Oh
with
my
those
gosh,
cabinets.
That is so funny.
So she'll definitely, she's interested in design, but I always, you know, kind of tell him like, "This is, you don't have to do this when you grow up."
Right.
You know,
right.
I kind of want her to find her own way.
Yeah.
But she is. She's very creative. She's very artistic. She loves art, music. So
that's awesome. Well, and it's about empowering young women to be open to anything. If they want to do construction, they can do construction.
Yeah.
You know, there is no limit, you know, on that. So it was interesting when you talked about employees. And I know, you know, Sophia is listed as, you know, an employee.
Mm-hmm.
But back to that DISC assessment, what other things do you look for when you are hiring folks to work in a design build firm? If I'm a homeowner and I am looking to interview a company and hire, you know, it shouldn't be 90-day fiancé where, you know, you just jump
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Like, you want to take time. You're going to spend more than 90 days with your contractor.
Oh, yeah, you know? Definitely.
So what tips can you give to homeowners on how they can use, you know, that DISC mentality or personality assessment of who is this contractor and how do I work with them? What am I looking for?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think that has a lot to do with the actual homeowner's kind of personality. You know, are you someone who needs a lot of details, which that would be like a high C, right? Like the conscientious, they're very okay. like detail-oriented, kind of has a million questions and they all need to be answered.
Okay.
So you have to find someone who's knowledgeable. Like, you know, you don't want to hire someone who kind of beats around the bush and doesn't
who is vague.
Give you straight answers
okay.
or so yeah, and then there's also the high S's, right? So that's steadiness.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the people
calm.
That the calm, you know, they you really have to like build a lot of trust.
Okay.
So I mean you have to like whoever you work
yeah.
with. That's so important.
Yeah.
If you don't, if that first meeting you kind of get the impression if they're you know, rushing you or, you know, you don't feel like
heard.
A priority. Yeah, and you don't feel heard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When I have spoken to people from my nursing perspective,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't necessarily need my brain surgeon to have the best bedside manner.
Yeah.
I need him to have skills.
Mm-hmm.
But I want my family doctor, who's going to be with me for the longer haul, to be the warmer
exactly.
you know, more connected person. So the same thing, you may not need a builder who is, or the carpenter who is precise at what he does to be the warm and fuzzy. But if I'm the homeowner, I need that from my direct contact.
Yeah, from your project manager.
Yes.
For
yeah.
example, you
yeah.
want to be able to go to your project manager, you know, because the our lead carpenters typically don't, you know, they're on site, they're physically working. So they don't necessarily have the time to sit with the homeowner and go through everything,
exactly.
but that's what the project manager is for.
Right.
You know, so the project manager is the one that kind of guides you through the whole process, answers all of your questions. And then the designer comes in once a week, and they're the ones that, if you're kind of unsure of things that you picked out, the designer's there to kind of solidify that and be like, remember, we really loved these. Like, you're going to love this when it's done.
Trust me.
Trust.
It's going to work out.
Yeah.
Like, they may not have that vision. But, yeah, I don't think a lot of homeowners think about a design project from that perspective of what are the personalities of the players.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's, I think, is a really key thing. Talking about personalities and unique skill sets, we were talking on the phone last week about what unique traits do women in particular bring to a design, build, renovation? Because your team is largely female.
It is, yes. Our office staff, yes.
Yes.
Yep.
But even you said, you know, your budget and planning team
mm-hmm.
and all of that. All of those roles may be traditionally thought of as men, you know, estimators and even the folks ordering. But you guys just have such a strong female energy.
You're right. And that kind of happened by accident. I don't think that was something that we, you know, planned for. I know typically, you know, and I say typically because there's obviously men, but men are typically like high Ds. So it's the D is dominant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Women tend to be kind of higher I's, like an influence. So men, I think, are like D's, I's, and C's. So it's like the dominant, the influence, and then the conscientious. Women are more the I's, the S's, mm-hmm. the C's. So I think just having that...
The balance.
The balance works really well,
yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's a benefit to homeowners, that your team has all of those personalities and the different, I guess, mental approaches to things.
Oh, yeah.
So that if one team member isn't necessarily jiving or connecting with that homeowner, there's another team member
exactly.
that can kind of take the lead, which is a benefit of having that larger team.
Yeah, and that's even how we kind of put designers with certain clients, where, you know, we'll have the meeting in the beginning.
You feel the energy.
You feel the energy.
If it clicks,
and you're like,
not.
No, I think this designer is definitely going to, like, you know, vibe well with this client. And because that's such a huge part of the experience and the process.
Absolutely. And again, you think of medicine, and it's the same thing of, you know, who is the doctor that's on the journey with you? Who's the lead doctor? Who is the lead contractor? And do they meet that person's needs? One of the things that I hadn't really asked you this question, but as someone who's working in design and construction, and you have a young daughter, you're working with a team of women, what do you think we as a society could or should be doing to help draw more women into the trades?
Oh, well, that's a great question. I feel like that, you know, getting into a trade program wasn't really something that's presented as an option when you're in school. You know, I think there's like home ec, right? And that was kind of like the, I mean, I didn't do that. I think that was before my time. But
yeah, home ec is not even around anymore.
No?
Well, not in the same sense.
Yeah.
You know, the going to shop isn't necessarily a component. They still have sewing and, you know, kitchen, you know, safety and things like that. But
but you know what? Your question actually reminded me of at my previous, I used to work for Neshaminy Kids Club. It was like a before and after school program in the Neshaminy School District. And part of the after school program was, you know, obviously the kids would come in at like 3 o'clock and stay until six. And it was a wonderful program. We put in a lot of different, we had a lot of different activities for the kids to do. So I started a carpentry club.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so exciting. I feel like doing something like that. And it was really difficult for me to get girls initially to join. So I kind of had to, you know,
you had to motivate kind of woo them.
And I had my husband would come in once a week and he would kind of teach the class and we would get like cute little kits for them to build. So we'd do like little birdhouses.
Awesome.
But I think just having that, you know, in school would be amazing for kids to be able to.
Yeah.
To think, do that. Yeah.
You know, it gives them a chance to be empowered and think about home.
Yeah. And then they're not scared of, you know, like picking up a hammer. And,
yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I do want to pause to have a word from our nonprofit partner, Family Promise of Montgomery County. As much as I love talking about home and homeownership, we do need to pause and reflect on those that are still struggling to make home happen for them. On any given day, over 500 people in Montgomery County, PA, are experiencing homelessness. Nearly 60,000 people don't have enough nutritious food to eat, and 8,600 families have income below the federal poverty line. Family Promise Monco PA is doing something about that by partnering with the community to address homelessness and hunger, one family at a time. FP Monco is able to support families through an emergency shelter, transitional housing, and a food pantry. If you'd like to learn more on how to get involved, you can visit fpmonco.org. Well, back to talking about, you know, the business of design. I am interested in what are some of the changes that you have seen over the last few years in terms of what are clients seeking to do with their homes? What are some of the things that are most popular?
Interesting. So I'd say we're having a lot of clients coming to us asking about additions in law suites. You know, I mean, we all know what the interest rates are right now. So sometimes buying a larger, bigger home isn't really the best option. So yeah, I'd say that that's been a big one over the last like 3-4 years. Just, you know, clients wanting to add on to their existing homes. And aging in place.
Okay. So with that trend of the in-law suites and aging in place, you're seeing people, they're trying to avoid, you know, a senior living situation in a community?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because ultimately it can be a lot more cost effective.
Oh, the expense of senior living is just astronomical. So if you think about it and you know, you add value to your home. You get your loved ones to stay closer to you, which is really nice.
You can create that multi-generational experience.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, like just even in your office, you have your daughter, you have you and your husband, and you have his father.
Yeah.
So you have that multi-generational experience just in your office, let alone in a home setting. But yeah, I think that's a trend that we're going to see more and more of as our population ages. And investing that money to create that space at home can be really a good move.
Yeah, I agree, definitely.
Yeah. What are some of the trends that you're seeing in design that, how do you balance when people come in and they're like, I want this and this because I saw it on Pinterest. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, oh gosh, that fad's going to come and go. How do you kind of steer them into something that's a better balance of their money and time for the longevity versus the whim?
Yeah, so we do. I mean, then we are very honest with our clients. You know, they hire us for a reason. They don't want us to yes them to death, and we don't want to do that. So I think, you know, some of the trends I would say is a lot of people wanted that like open floor plan, and they're realizing that's not the most functional thing. Sometimes you need your own space.
Yeah.
So definitely kind of getting away from more of the open floor plans.
What do you see are some of the problems in that open floor plan that people come back
to? Oh, with little kids?
Okay.
Just like the running noise? Just the noise.
Yeah.
Really the noise. Like there's just so much. You know, even my, we had an open floor plan and, you know, my husband was kind of like in the living room when I was in the kitchen. Just the banging, the pots and pans, like all the stuff.
Trying to watch
from
TV
the kitchen.
And you can't hear
it's
the,
just, yeah, it's a lot. You know, and then functional layouts as well. Like it's difficult to kind of place furniture in an open floor plan because you don't have too many
walls. You don't have walls. Like you don't have any walls to support or to back up. And then everything is just free and floating. And,
yeah.
And, you know, how do you navigate around that? And people then want the big, lofty, second story family rooms and all of that. How do you deal with window treatments?
Yeah,
Exactly. You don't realize that it looks grand and pretty in photos until you get down to the budget of, well, now you need 100 yards of fabric for your window treatments.
Not only that, heat rises up. So then, you know, your heating costs go up. So just trying to make sure that we make clients aware of all the pros and cons of everything.
Right. Because the shiny bubble is like, ooh, but here's the practical of.
Exactly.
You're going to want this the long term.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, thankfully the white and gray kitchens are phasing themselves out.
Oh, thank God.
So we're seeing a lot more color and warmth with wood, especially in the kitchens, quartz countertops, but like more of a natural quartz, not really the
shiny
white
sparkle.
With like gray veining quartz.
Yeah. What has been the design trend that you hated the last 10 years that you kept seeing people want?
It might be like the tiny mosaic tiles in the backsplash.
Okay, you just know? Those little, like those really the penny-sized ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just because of grout.
Like, oh, the grouting of grout. That is a nightmare.
Yeah.
More to clean. Yeah. I've been there, done that. So is there a particular project that you as a team have done at LBK that just left a lasting impression on you? That you walked away from, we just changed lives.
I think it was definitely, and we have them on our website. They did a wonderful testimonial for us, and it was Meg and her dad, and she wanted to move back into her childhood home. Her mom had just passed away, and you know her dad was kind of alone. He was by himself, so we did a entire first and second floor renovation of the home, brand new kitchen, master bathroom, master suite. And then we also did an addition off of the kitchen as well for Dave. So
that's
that
a
was
lot.
Spot. It was such a wonderful project to be a part of because, like you said, it was life-changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you didn't just give them space. They had the shared experience together. Mm-hmm. you know, so you had a father and a daughter creating a space that worked for them, which I can imagine had a lot of emotion.
Yeah, I loved that. And they just called us back again to add on a deck onto the home. So that was really nice to get that call and get to work with them again.
Wow, that's cool. And that's one of the things that I know you have shared with me that is really important for you is to not just deliver walls and floors, mm-hmm. but to deliver a home experience and to build the relationship that they want you back.
Exactly.
You know, to have that impact on people.
Yeah, it's so important, and it makes, you know, getting up and going to work just fun and it means something.
Purposeful.
Yeah.
You know, it's purposeful. I always ask my guests this question. If you could be a tool, what would you be and why?
Oh. If I could be a tool. I guess probably just a drill, because you always need one.
Okay.
You know, like no matter what you're doing, I feel like you always need a good drill.
It's powerful. You have one in your hand, you know. Do you have your own drill or just Nick's drills?
No, I do have my own.
All right. I was hoping for that answer, that you have your own. And at what age does your daughter get her own power drill?
I think she's been really interested in using power tools. So I think it's coming up. That might be a good Christmas gift for this year.
Excellent. Yeah. Giving girls power tools. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Well, we can find LBK at lbkdesignbuild.com.
Yes.
And they are on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, the website.
Yeah.
Lots of fun to follow. Lots of great images and video clips. And, of course, you can find me always at DIYHipChicks.com. And just like you guys get at LBK, I always share this motto of remember that doing it yourself never means you're doing it alone.
Oh, I love that.
And we can always build a team, whether it's our team at home or we're bringing in a team to help facilitate our home remodeling projects. So,
great. Thank you so much for having me, Beth.
Thank you for being here.